Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Tuesday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Coming up this hour, Vermont Catamounts men's head coach, John Becker, one of the fastest ever to hit 100 conference wins, is UVM a powerhouse of the America East. We are a couple of weeks away from turning the page to March, which means you'll need to know all about those mid-majors and low majors to fill out your bracket, which is where we shine here on the DA. When we were doing overnights the first 2 years of CBS Sports Radio, 2013-2014, we considered ourselves the mid-major of CBS Sports Radio. Largely overlooked, but a powerhouse in our own right. And because of coaching and a little grit, spit and vinegar, we could find a way to knock off a behemoth. We felt like we were a show to be reckoned with. We just needed the shot in the tourney. And so we developed the mid-major mothership, where every March we would highlight, put the spotlight on coaches and players and programs that didn't have that opportunity to tell their story before. We'll do that again. It's become part of the DNA of the show, and you can't spell DNA without D and A. And so today it begins. Vermont Catamounts basketball. By the way, I am thrilled to see this picture that listener Andrew has sent to us. It's a picture of his son's elementary school, Snyder Elementary, that has one of those signs on the marquee board outside that says, "The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing." If you've listened to this show long enough, you know this is a drop that we play and that we've had fun with and laughed at and questioned what exactly does this mean, because Cowboys pass rusher and former Boise State star DeMarcus Lawrence joined us on the show this football season. And he told me that his focus is always that the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And I always thought that was so funny. And we played this as a drop. And now I'm learning that Andrew's son at Snyder Elementary School, that this is their slogan of the day.
Main thing is, and that's the main thing. The main thing is keeping the main thing, and the main thing is playing the game.
The main thing is the main thing and keeping the main thing, which is playing the game.
Main thing is, and that's the main thing. The main thing is keeping the main thing, and the main thing is playing the game.
And this is now the slogan outside Snyder Elementary. Look, you want to know why kids like Mraz are being churned through this educational system? We're confusing them. The daily slogan is confusing. The main thing is to keep the main thing.
Main thing is, and that's the main thing. The main thing is keeping the main thing, and the main thing is playing the game.
I would assume the message here is focus on what's important. Eliminate distractions. The main thing is the most important. But it's way easier to say focus on what's important instead of the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing.
Main thing is, and that's the main thing. The main thing is keeping the main thing the main thing, and the main thing is playing the game.
We live in such a confusing world as it is. All we're doing is spewing gobbledygook constantly. Every part of our lives is more confusing. DeMarcus Lawrence is only, he's only saying this because he's clearly had a coach say this. So essentially, somewhere in the Dallas Cowboys board, their defensive meeting room and their big whiteboard, somebody wrote, the main thing is keeping the main thing the main thing. No offense to DeMarcus Lawrence or anybody else, but how many professional athletes really understand that? We're just confusing them. You got these guys pushed through college, probably barely graduated high school, great at football. Hey, we don't want you being smart. We just want you playing ball there. And we've got them sitting at a defensive room, looking at a board, trying to figure out and decipher what the main thing being the main thing is the main thing is.
Main thing is, and that's the main thing. The main thing is keeping the main thing the main thing, and the main thing is, and that's the main thing. The main thing is keeping the main thing the main thing, and the main thing is, and that's the main thing. The main thing is keeping the main thing the main thing, and the main thing is, and that's the main thing. The main thing is keeping the main thing the main thing, and the main thing is playing the game.
This is just the verbal M.C. Escher painting. It never stops. I'm convinced that this is how the Patriots have built the dynasty. They just don't confuse their players. Look at their slogan, do your job. I got it. That I get. We're still here. I can do that. Do your job. Pretty clear. I have to do a job. Whose job? My job. Got it. But the main thing is to keep the main thing, the main thing, and the main thing is playing the game? No wonder the Cowboys can't win a playoff game.
Main thing is, and that's the main thing. The main thing is keeping the main thing, and the main thing is playing the game.
And I'm sorry, Andrew, pull your son out of that school immediately. If this is the daily slogan, he's cooked. 855-212-4CBS on Twitter, DA on CBS. So now Kyler Murray has declared for the NFL draft. You know my feeling on this. While I am all for people that break open the box, break open conventional wisdom, while I'm all for somebody being the cherry bomb in the toilet, blow it up. I love it. I hope Kyler Murray succeeds in the NFL the same way I rooted for Doug Flutie succeed in the NFL. But just don't do it on my gamble. I hope it works. Because I want to see the NFL get away from conventional wisdom. A player has to look like this or play like this or be like this for me to draft him, for that guy to succeed. I'm glad that Baker Mayfield did what he did. I'm glad spread concepts are now in the NFL. I'm glad we're using RPO because the NFL used to be do it one way and that's the way we do it. But don't do it on my gamble. Not this one anyway. I'll take gambles on guys. I'd stick my neck out on guys, but I ain't doing it for Kyler Murray. There's a difference between 5'11", like, let's say, Drew Brees, who's basically right at 6 foot, and Kyler Murray, who's not even 5'10". You're talking about Kyler Murray being 5'9 and change. That's really short. And that's Kyler Murray, whose game is not in any way right now an NFL game. I realize they're spread concepts. I realize Big 12 offense and NFL offense are coming closer together than ever before. But when I watched Kyler Murray play, I said, that guy's really small, not kind of small, not kind of short. He's not Russell Wilson. He's shorter than Russell Wilson. And that guy, I don't think, translates to the NFL level because that offense is so far from what the NFL is. And he's small. And he's not a guy that's going to put on much muscle mass. He's built like a running back versus built like a short quarterback. I am happy to raise my hand and tell you I hope Kyler Murray succeeds Because, again, I like when conventional wisdom is blown up. But I ain't drafting Kyler Murray in the first round because I don't think it'll work. I don't think he will work. I'm glad Baker does. I'm glad Russell Wilson does. I'm glad Drew Brees is going to the Hall of Fame. I just don't think Kyler Murray is going to be one of those guys. He's an elite athlete. I wouldn't be surprised at all if the Arizona Cardinals go in that direction. But that's too big a gamble for me. Because they're talking about him being a first-round draft pick. If you're drafting Kyler Murray, third round, fourth round, oh yeah, you can risk that. That's why Russell Wilson was taken in the third round. We're talking about top half of the first round. Those guys have to be Pro Bowlers for that draft to have warranted where you took them. Is Kyler Murray, are you willing to say Kyler Murray is a Pro Bowl quarterback? I'm not. And I don't think it's coincidence at all that Kyler Murray yesterday signed with an agent who happens to be Cliff Kingsbury's agent. Oh, what there? Interesting.
Come on, Damon. Wake up.
Kyler Murray happened to sign with the same agent Cliff Kingsbury is signed with. And Cliff Kingsbury is the guy back in October who said if he had the number one pick overall, he would draft Kyler Murray. And it just so happens that Cliff Kingsbury is the head coach of the Cardinals who have the number one pick in the draft. That's not a coincidence. They're scheming this thing up. If the Cardinals are going to take Kyler Murray in the first round, they're going to trade Josh Rosen. And I would think you would be able to get back a pretty good haul on a first-round quarterback last year that's only going into year number two. But if you're the Cardinals also, you don't have to draft Kyler Murray number one because I don't think anybody's going to be fighting over him at number one. I would think you could trade into 8 or 9 and be completely safe. I would think Dwayne Haskins goes first in terms of quarterbacks, not first overall. And then after that, it would be Kyler Murray. I wouldn't draft him in the first round. But I think the Cardinals are going to do it. This is setting up so obviously that the Cardinals trade down into 7 or 8. Somebody trades up into the number one slot, takes somebody that they're really in love with, and then the Cardinals can take, they can trade Rosen, pick up a 1 or pick up a couple of 2s, and then bingo bango, take Kyler. And look, I'm here for this. If Cliff Kingsbury is going to get a head coaching job in the NFL, let him pick his quarterback. Let's see. I don't think Kingsbury succeeds in the NFL. I don't think Kyler Murray succeeds in the NFL. And I certainly don't think the two of them succeed together. So you know what? Put them together. Let's go high risk, high reward. I want to see both of these guys attached to the hip. That's the biggest gamble in NFL history. Mraz, you taking Kyler Murray in the first round?
Nope. In many ways, and this is for two completely different reasons, I said the same thing I said last year about Shaquem Griffin, who obviously turned out to be a great story with the Seattle Seahawks, that you were rooting for him. I'm rooting for Kyler Murray. Just if it's my personal favorite team, I don't want to take that chance of throwing a pick away like that.
Now, Shaquem Griffin ended up going in the 6th round, I believe.
Of course. This is totally different.
6th round. But I mean, you could afford a flyer in the 6th round.
But even then, that's the only thing I could equate it to, is there are very few players that I've seen come along in an NFL draft that get talked about being drafted. Now, Shaquem, obviously way different because he was a late-round pick. But this is now, here we are a year later, and we're talking about a first-round quarterback rolling the dice on that. I just can't do it. And think about this. Everyone wants to compare him to Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson wasn't a first-round pick either. The Seahawks took a flyer, signed Matt Flynn to a big contract, took him in the 3rd round. So I'm sorry. I can't invest it knowing the height of Kyler Murray, knowing everything that's come with it, small stature, running quarterback, the whole. I can't do it. I can't risk it. Not me.
3rd-round pick, you take Kyler Murray?
If he was there in the 3rd round, sure.
I would too.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you're talking about top half of the first.
Yeah, I can't wait. That's flushing it down the toilet and having to hold down the flusher. You can't do it.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, Twitter, DA on CBS. We'll come back with your phone calls on the Trash Tuesday. Also, Vermont head coach John Becker is going to join us. He joined some historic names in getting to 100 conference wins. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
Shout out to my family. If loving DA is wrong, I don't want to be right.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
22 minutes past the hour. Thanks for being with us. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. And our toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com. 15 minutes. You could save 15% or more on car insurance. It's a Trash Tuesday, so if you want to take out the trash, something that is eating at you, vent about a team, a person, a place, a thing that has happened to you, tweet at me, DA on CBS, or hit me up on the phones on that toll-free line. We here on the DA show fancy ourselves as the mid-major of sports talk radio stations. A lot of heart, clearly limited on talent, but a lot of heart. A lot of wherewithal, a lot of guts, willing to take on anyone, anywhere, anytime. It is why we shine the light at this time of the year on the mid-majors, so that when we get into conference tournament time and you're filling out your bracket for March Madness, you have the stories behind the teams. Let's debut the 2019 version of Mid-Major Mothership.
It's DA's Mid-Major Mothership, only on CBS Sports Radio.
The Vermont Catamounts are atop the America East at 9-1 in the league. They're 19-5 overall, and their head coach is one of the fastest ever to 100 conference wins, joining the likes of Mark Few, Bill Self, John Chaney, and Adolph Rupp. Joining us is Vermont Catamounts head coach, John Becker. John, how you doing? Good morning.
Good morning, DA. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. How you feeling? How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. So far, so good.
17-5 start for the third straight season. Only the sixth time in school history, which is huge. And you guys right now, 19-5 rather, are 10-2 at home. And as I mentioned, you have that select company you're around and you're with. Is it weird to look at yourself with some of the legendary names in college basketball history?
Yeah, it's really amazing, and our SID did a great job at digging that stat up. I had no idea, and it's been pretty cool to be on that list for sure.
Out of those guys, Mark Few, Adolph Rupp, John Chaney, Bill Self, did you study any of their techniques, their styles, their schemes? Did you have any connection to them? Have you ever picked up anything coaching-wise from any of those guys?
Well, I mean, we played Kansas this year, so, you know, obviously Bill Self has been one of the best in the business for a while now, and certainly always been a fan of his program. And then Mark Few, I mean, what he's been able to do at Gonzaga in a mid-major league, turning them into a perennial top 10 team is certainly a blueprint that I've looked at and to try to replicate. You know, I don't know if we'll be able to do it, but certainly I think all of us mid-major teams aspire to be able to do what they've done.
What elements can you take out of what Mark Few has done at Gonzaga? What do you try to replicate?
Well, you know, I just think it's interesting because Burlington and Spokane, Washington are similar type of locations, so to speak, and the conferences have some similarities. And then it's just how do you continue to push the thing forward? What do you need? We're getting a new arena here at Vermont, so I think that's going to be a huge step for us to continue to push this thing forward. And then just how do you start to get the level players that they've gotten? Dan Dickow was the guy that they got early, and Adam Morrison, and guys like that, and now turned into, you know, a team that has a few NBA guys every year. And so how do you acquire the talent you need to get to the level they're at? So some of those answers are hard to come by, and some of it's luck. And, you know, obviously he's a tremendous coach and has had a great staff, and guys have gone on to do well as head coaches themselves. So there's a lot to it, and there's no clear path or right or wrong answer, but I think with the arena coming here, I think that's the next step for us, huge step for us, and we're looking forward to opening that arena in a couple years.
Vermont head coach John Becker is our guest this morning on the show. You've got three brothers on the roster from Evansville, Indiana, Ernie Duncan, Everett Duncan, and Robin Duncan. If I'm not mistaken, all three of these guys started in one game earlier this season. How the hell did you call out who needed to be what, where, when there's three different Duncans on the floor?
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty cool thing. And, you know, I was just watching a clip that someone put out, sent to me. You know, it was a Duncan to Duncan to Duncan for three. And they're just awesome kids. And they fit together so well. And obviously they play so much basketball together that it's been pretty easy to manage those guys. They kind of just fit together playing style. And Ernie Duncan, the oldest brother, who's having a great year for us, kind of, keeps them in line and keeps them, coaches them, so to speak, a little bit. And so they've been fantastic to coach, and they're all three are really good players and have been a big part of our success.
You and I have a mutual friend in Chris Wojcik, who was the longtime, one of the voices of UVM basketball, and then it moved on to the NHL. And I was up in Burlington for his wedding two summers ago, and I've spent some time in Burlington because he was up there. But, boy, I got to spend a weekend in Burlington and on Lake Champlain, and in that country, it's just absolutely gorgeous. It's breathtakingly beautiful.
Yeah.
And you got Ben and Jerry's up there, which is always a win. So what is the best Ben and Jerry's flavor? I'm sure you've tasted all of them.
Oh, geez, that's really difficult. You know, I'm a big fan of the fish food. Mm. I like that one, but they're all good, and it's definitely a nice part of our recruiting visits to stop into the original Ben and Jerry's and show the kids and their parents some of the best parts of Vermont for sure. So, ironic, I was invited to that wedding too. I was supposed to go and I put the wrong weekend in my calendar, so I was on the road recruiting, and I completely spaced it. In fact, you reminded me. I may still owe them a gift, so I better get them something.
Yeah, get on that after the season. I drank enough Magic Hat for both of us, though, so don't worry about
that.
Oh, there
you go.
I'll tell you this, though. It is so beautiful in Vermont, and you have Lake Champlain there, and you can boat and do everything, and it's just the mountains are behind it. I know you're a guy that goes out of the boat, and I guess it's Indian Bay where you guys go out, right? So what's the day look like on the boat in Lake Champlain in Indian Bay?
I don't know if I can say that on these airwaves, but Wednesday night's boys' night. We head over to the lake, a few boats over to Indian Bay, and a couple of the guys bring their guitars, and we sit around and have some adult beverages and some bad food and enjoy the night. And it's absolutely beautiful and one of the best parts of summer for sure.
It really is. What an awesome place to be able to work and to play. And so what's the bad food order? Is it a cheeseburger? Is it a steak? What do we got?
It's a lot of chicken wings and low grade hamburgers for sure. So and French fries. Yeah. So it's it's good. It's good. You don't feel great the next day, but it's certainly good on Wednesday night.
Yeah, it's going down smooth as it's going down. Yeah. Vermont Catamounts head coach John Becker is our guest this morning on the show. You guys reside in what could be a one-bid league that's always a lot of pressure on the best team in the league. What does that feel like going to conference tournament time?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's like you said, we've gotten off to another great start here, and there's a lot of positives, and had another great non-conference and beat a bunch of Atlantic 10 teams and a lot of good stuff. But we know as well as it's going and it's going to come down to 3 days in March. And so, fortunately I've been in that situation enough, but it's always tricky to manage that kind of one and done pressure. At home is obviously a huge advantage if you can get those home games, but then when you get to if you're fortunate enough to get to the championship game, that's you're so close to your goal and all the work you put in for the year. And as a higher seed, there's additional pressure on you and expectations to win that game. As the lower seed, sometimes it's an advantage because there's less pressure on you. You can kind of just let it go. And so just figuring out that dynamic and how to help the players be as calm and confident as possible. But it's really hard to do. So, you know, we know that that's what we signed up for here in, at this level. And so it is what it is. And hopefully we get another opportunity to feel that pressure.
You can check out the rest of UVM's regular season on ESPN Plus or ESPN 3. Also, their game at UMBC, the darlings of last year's March Madness, is going to be on ESPNU Thursday, February the 21st. And, of course, the America East Tournament coming up after that. John Becker, head coach of the Vermont Catamounts, joining us this morning on the show. Coach, it's probably a Bed Bath & Beyond situation for you for Chris's registry. I'll send that to you. And best of luck as we head down the rest of this way. And hopefully we'll talk to you in March again, man.
Thanks so thanks so much for having me on, DA. I really appreciate it.
You got it. John Becker joining us this morning here on the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. The Vermont Catamounts, the best team in the America East right now, atop the conference at 9-1 in the league, 19-5 overall. We'll do more mid-major mothership as we make our way through this month and into March, that you guys know the names and the faces and the stories behind your tournament bracket busters coming up in March. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number, or on Twitter, DA on CBS. We'll get to your calls and your tweets on a Trash Tuesday next, plus your epic fail.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Good value, big upside.
DA, word up, nation of the aliens, much respect. I'm loving it, man.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Everyone, there's a quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance, too. Get it all. Geico.com. The best of the video clips of the DA show every single day. Available on YouTube and on Facebook. Facebook.com/TheDA Show, or on YouTube, just search The DA Show on YouTube. That's easy enough as well. On that toll-free line is our good friend Lewis in Palmdale on a Trash Tuesday. Lewis, good morning.
Buenos dias, DA, baby.
You got it. What's up?
I got to tell you, brother, I'm so happy that for the last 2 weeks when I was in Cancun, I was able to keep up with the DA show on WatchDA.com. Great job by Kaplan, by the way. The last couple of weeks, DA, there has been an overabundance of dudes hacking their wares on the mothership. And here's another one. Today's call is brought to you by DonorForLewis.com. DonorForLewis.com, your one-stop shop for all your one-legged needs. Remember, you may come in with two kidneys, but if you're a match, you'll leave only with one. DonorForLewis.com. DA, I would like to trash tourists who think talking louder will make the other person understand what the hell they're trying to say. It goes without saying, moron, these people speak a different language. No matter how loud you say, "Where is the ATM?" will not magically make you understand what the hell they're trying to say. They speak another language. They are not deaf. Download Google Translate like a normal person. Get him out.
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
Get him out.
Where are you trying to go? Do you need El Baño? La Biblioteca. Which is the only thing anybody can remember from 7th grade Spanish. The library. Rob of the 321 tweets, I am trashing Greg Giannotti. His impressions of you are absolutely god-awful. He sounds nothing like you. His bashing of Mraz's weight is uncalled for. That's a bully. Don't promote it. Mraz is actually winning at life. His wife is a perfect 10, and his belly is always full. Coming from someone like Gio, he should know better than to fat shame anyone.
Let's face it. That's straight trash.
I think Gio's impersonations of me actually sound really, really good. So that's the first I'm hearing that it's a bad impersonation. Whereas, are you bothered that Gio has cracked on your weight?
I'm personally not, but I am also of the belief that I laugh at myself more than anybody, so I can understand why somebody from the outside would assume I'd be bothered. But, I mean, he's not saying anything I haven't heard before, and if he portrays it in a funny manner, I don't think he's portraying it in a vicious manner. So, therefore, I'm comfortable with it. I'm fine.
Yeah, what did you think about that call yesterday from Todd in Connecticut, who just led off the show with, or led off the call with, all right, D.A., well, Mraz is fat.
See, Mraz is fat.
That, to me, was uncalled for. That's different. That, like, A, he didn't present in a funny manner. B, he said it just to get out of the way. And C, I don't know you, Todd. I don't know who you are, bro.
I don't know you.
I don't know who you are, so back off the weight thing. And, like, he said it with no context. If he had a follow-up line, something to have fun with, fine. But I found it ludicrous and ridiculous. And I, by the way, Todd, I've started an accountability book. So I'm going to hold myself accountable. So good luck with that.
Very nice. Mike tweets, I'm trashing Mother Nature. Got more than enough rain in 2018. Been getting a lot of rain here in Maryland so far in 2019. Can the sun come out? Can the sun come out and finally play again? Winter rain is the worst. Straight trash, bro.
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
Just be thankful it's not snow. Trevor tweets, I'm trashing Julian Edelman for lying and saying he can't talk about why he was suspended for testing positive for PED use. Just another reason to vomit at the quote-unquote Patriots way.
Splash Brothers, more like the Trash Brothers.
Take a hike.
I love the Patriots. I love them because they are just... they're the best criminals we have. They have more intel on everybody than anyone ever. They push the boundaries so much on intel, they've been docked draft picks. They've been involved in not one, but two Gates scandals of trying to get in a competitive advantage. It is a team that scouts better than any team ever. But how he had a player fail a PED test, well, who knows? Who could possibly know that? Wait, we have a player who's killing people? Who could even know that? We would have no idea. The Patriots feign ignorance when they need to feign ignorance, except that it's a real problem to sell because they know everything about everything all of the time.
Oh, excuse me, my bad.
We have cheaters on the... I know. We have a murder? Oh, man, I'm blown away.
My bad.
Dixieland Dan tweets, I want to trash Disney for turning Will Smith into the dumbest looking genie we have ever seen. How dare you do that to Robin's iconic role, you idiots. Also, trash Christian Hacka garbage for playing an absolute stinker for the Express on Sunday.
Warm, sizzling garbage.
Thank you.
Will we see Christian hack a bag of trash again this Express season?
Singletary's supposed to meet the media later this afternoon for his usual Tuesday presser.
His usual. After week one.
Yeah.
His usual. He's never done it before.
His usual. I don't know what the media frenzy is going to be like in Memphis, specifically with the reporter
pool. Media frenzy.
Yeah. I don't even know what the newspaper is there, the FedEx Gazette.
No, maybe. The commercial appeal.
The commercial appeal. Yeah. So I think they get done with Grizzly shoot-around, they pop over for Singletary's presser. So we'll see. If I'm Mettenberger, though, I got to be studying film hard here. Who does Memphis play this week? Atlanta?
If Gary Parrish isn't there asking Singletary the tough questions about Hackenberger trash and his day on Saturday or Sunday, it's a real fail by our friend Gary Parrish.
And not only that, Singletary, prime time Saturday night with the Hot Shots coming to town. So you're getting a home opener in Memphis.
What's the line of the Hot Shots? I am taking that all day.
Yeah, I mean, now you worry about a team traveling west to east in that spot. But you're right. Hot Shots in that offense going to play Memphis who can't score?
Anything of Arizona laying 9 or less, I'm all over the Hot Shots.
I got to find that. But that's a bad spot for Memphis. You know, Singletary get booed out of that place.
They're
going to
get wrecked.
Night.
He won't last a mid-season.
I'd be very worried if I was Liberty Bowl security.
Josh tweets, I'm trashing crispy bacon and everyone that eats it. It looks nasty, tastes burnt, and breaks in a biscuit. Trash them.
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
Yeah, I'm anti-crispy bacon as well. Kyle tweets, I'm listening to the Mothership on the Radio.com app. I'm trashing Saints fans that still complain about a blown call to every parent at the skate park. My kid's trying to land a kickflip while Saints fans reenacting the missed call on Roby Coleman. Get him out.
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
Get him out.
Myron tweets, I tried watching the Grammys, but I'm trashing all these new artist music. It's just horrible. Guess I'm old school.
Stinky debris.
They won?
How could it happen?
How did that happen?
How could it happen?
Sean tweets, thank God someone is on this Ariana Grande story about getting hit by pucks from the Panthers. I read this the other day and could not believe what I was reading, and there was zero mention of the story until you, DA. Thank you so much.
Let's face it, that's straight trash.
I appreciate you appreciating us, because Mraz brought this story to my attention, and I said, this is the most fascinating sports story we have. I know other shows will delve into things like Kareem Hunt, Kyler Murray, Bryce Harper, the 76ers. Frankly, to me, a five-year-old toddler being hit not once but twice by errant pucks at the Florida Panther Stadium, where nobody is anyway, landing on a Zamboni, getting a front page article in a major newspaper, and then that same toddler becoming Ariana Grande is too impossible to put into words and to put into some type of numeric metric. The odds of that are impossible. And as Mraz and I believe, these things are interwoven. They are connected. They are not coincidental. We believe our acting theory is that Ariana Grande's parents were stage parents at an early time and wanted to take advantage of any and all publicity and attention for their kid. So the first time, maybe the puck hits them and maybe that's just sheer luck. But they are able to squeeze out of it multiple signed items from the Panthers and some type of relationship with the organization. Because the second time she gets hit, apparently the players don't give her anything. But her mom buys her way onto the Zamboni, and her mother, who's also a CEO of a communications company, we believe somehow got the newspaper to take a picture, a full side picture, got the whole story, because who would know the story about a little girl getting hit by two pucks, and puts it in the paper with a big picture. And then that leads them positioning her to perform aboard cruises, you said, at age 8, and then eventually onto Nickelodeon, where her career flourishes. Now, she's an amazing talent, an amazing singing talent and vocal talent. But we believe all of this is interwoven, where her parents positioned her strategically for attention.
Yeah, her parents were doing this every day. Every day. They were doing it every day.
Hey, I'm Peter Schwartz.
Now, we know somebody else is doing it every day, but it's not paying off very well.
No, it is not.
It's got in the Thursday night package to New York Nets games out on Long Island, the G League team. Let's get to your epic fail. It's the Ariana Grande story.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
You know how many kids ride Zambonis in the NHL yearly? You know how many end up on the front page of the paper? None. Okay? Ariana Grande did at the age of 5 before she was Ariana Grande. Her parents know how to position her. I'm not saying they're holding her up, you know, during shoot-arounds like a human shield.
For a place so she can
no,
hit by a puck.
No, yeah. I think they at know least, where to sit. At least there's a reason they sat probably behind the nets.
Not understanding because you're stupid.
And knew where to sit.
So again, your premise begins with her parents putting a kid in danger.
No, putting her in danger where she could get on TV. There's no way the dad, after she got hit a first time, isn't looking to protect her and a puck is just flying willy-nilly. And listen, she only ends up with a small bruise. How hard those pucks get hit?
Do you think any of them knew who you were?
At least, see, D.A., you're not with Sean, because at least you're just walking off the back end of this, that they were just milking any attention they could get.
Stage
That's
parents.
One thing.
I'm Peter Schwartz.
Yeah, really Shawnee, savvy stage parents.
Shawnee began with, they found a place to sit so she could get hit.
You ever read that Zach Hampel book, doofus?
Did you ever read it?
He knows where to go to collect all home run balls and foul balls and everything like that. So Her parents know where she's going to get lightly tapped with a puck.
I hope to see you soon.
To make sure she's riding a damn Zamboni.
Would you put your
stuff?
Dog in danger of getting hit by a puck right now for your personal gain?
Hey, buddy, how you doing? If it gets him on the front page of a paper and I'm making
okay.
money?
Again, not on the front
parents
page.
Parents aren't reaping the benefits. Years later,
and we're sitting next to one of the universe's favorite people. This guy deserves nothing, and he keeps falling forward. Some people just have luck, good or bad or otherwise.
It doesn't matter who we are. What matters is our plan.
You don't think that you could orchestrate your kids into some element of fame by being a stage dad.
No. Listen, we've watched Peter Schwartz do it in real time. It hasn't paid off just
right,
yet.
Right, the difference is those kids don't have the actual, like, Ariana Grande still needed the talent.
Right.
I'm sure, no offense to your kids, I'm sure, you know, what's
listen,
his name?
I'm
Billy?
Not, I'm
he's
not
singing like...
That's what happened to my brother, Bill, which makes me sad.
What's his name, Billy?
Come on. Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Or as the ultimate sign of disrespect, what's your kid's name, Andrew Bogish? Billy? Come on. Courtney's the first lady of Trash Tuesday. She tweets, I'm trashing sore throats and stuffy noses. No one really appreciates the ability to breathe clearly or swallow until it's gone.
Must be Trash Tuesday.
You could not be more right about that. Once it is taken away from you, it is just absolutely brutal. All right, that will do it for us this morning here on the show. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan at WatchDA.com with the simulcast, pulling on the levers. And thanks to Andrew Bogish, our stage dad here on the DA Show. We'll see you tomorrow, everyone. Be good and be good to one another. I'm DA. The Mothership disconnects.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.